Very
Thank you.
good. The Minchas Chinuch on the mitzvah Piriyah v'Rivya points out, that's the first mitzvah, Piruvu, points out that there are, Rav Soloveitchik pointed out this Minchas Chinuch, that there are two different expressions that we use when we speak about relatives. Sometimes you say Mishpacha, and sometimes you say She'er Basar. And Mishpacha is the opening pasuk, one of the first psukim in Chumash Bamidbar, Mishpacha Sab Kriya Mishpacha, Mishpacha same ain't a kriya mishpacha. It says in the mishpachosim and the beis avosim, only the relatives from the father's side are considered mishpacha. Relatives from the mother's side is not called mishpacha. But when the Chumash lists off all the prohibited relatives that you're not allowed to marry, that says ishi shel kol sheb sar lasikvul legalizera. That's some of the relatives on the father's side, some of the relatives on the mother's side. That's called sheir basa. So the two different chaloshemus of kurva. What's the story with Yerusha? So by Yerusha, when the Bnei Slavchad had the Shaila, whether they're entitled to Yerusha, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu told all the dinim of Yerusha, and then it says, Akor Vela Mimishpachta V'Yorashois. And so the word Mishpacha appears, so the Gemara says in Yesh Nochlin, and towards the end of Bava Basra, there's a whole self-contained perek all about Yerusha. It's unrelated to anything else in Bava Basra. It's an easier perek than many of the others. Yesh Nochan is easier than the other. So it says there, Yerusha only goes to relatives. If I die, the Yerusha goes only to the relatives from the mother's side, from the father's side. Relatives from mother's side don't get any Yerusha. So the question begs itself, so how is the din HaBen Yorish HaSimai? The son is only related to the mother through the mother. The mother is not related to the son through the father. So the answer is in the Gemara that that's a new din. That's not a din of Yerusha. Because it's not mishpach, it's a din of kom tachtov. That's the Gemara has an expression: haben kom tachasoviv liyado v'listei achuzo for chalitza purposes. So a man dies and he leaves no. A man is married and he dies and leaves no children. So the wife needs chalitza oyivum. But if he leaves children, then haben kom tachasoviv lachalitza. That the mother does need chalitza oyivum. So that's a din of kom tach. That's not a din of Yerusha. If there are children, there's no din of chalitza yibam. That's a din haben kam tachasavik. Same thing liyud. There's a din asher lo yoda. There's a kriyak siv in parshas mishpatim. When you purchase an amah evriya, the father sells his daughter as an amah evriya. So there's a mitzvah yiud kodemus and the mitzvah pediya. It's a mitzvah on the Yodan, he should marry the girl. That's called Asher Lo Yodah. It's a Kri and a Ksiv. The Ksiv is Lo Lamed Aleph, and the Kri is Lo Lamed Vav. The Balkar is supposed to have in mind, Asher Lo Yodah, it's a mitzvah that the Yodan should be Meyayid. Then it says, Im Lebno Yodana, what if the Yodan is 40 years old and the girl is only 10 years old? It doesn't make sense. He should make you an age gap of 30 years. So the Chumash has a din, Im Lebno Yodan, it's a din of Yud Habein. That's not a din of Yerusha, it's a din haben kam tachasaviv liyado for Yehud. It's not that the father's still alive, so there's no din of Yerusha when the father's alive. It's a din of kam tachtov. What else? L'stei achuza. There's a din, if there's a stei achuza and a stei mikna. Stei achuza means I got a birusha from my father, got a birusha from the days of the Yeshua ben Nun, when they divided Eretz Yisrael. So that's called the stei achuza. Then there's a stei mikna. If I bought the field from someone else, when it comes yovel, so it goes back to the original owner. So what's the din if I have a stei achuza and I magdish it, and then the gizba shel hegdish auctions it off to the highest bidder, sells it to somebody else. So then when it comes yovel, I can kiss it goodbye, because the one who bought it from the gizba shel hegdish, by him it's only a stei mikna. He bought it. He didn't get a birusha. But the one who has magdish it owns it completely. I own the stei achuza. So if a person owns a stei mikna, he only owns it till yovel. Person owns stei achuza, he's not going to lose ownership when it comes yovel. So he owns it liyol and void. So if a person is magdish a stei achuza, he's giving it away totally. So the pasuk says in Chumash, v'mocher sasod liish acher, if the Magdish is not goyel. The one who donated to Hegdish is not paid to the Hegdish, and the gizber auctions it off to someone else. Mochas sasada liish acher, lo yigoyelot. So then when it comes yovel, it's mischalekas lekohanim. So the Gemara has a comment on the pasuk, Machas asad elish acher, lacher belo ledein. If the son of the one who is magdishit is the one who buys it back from the hegdish, the gizbo auctions it off to the highest bidder. The highest bidder is the son of the one who is magdishit. So then the din is adbein, mamid steachuza le'oviv. Since the son bought it back from the gizbar, when it comes, shnas ha'yavil, it goes back to the father. You don't say, lo yigoyalod, it goes back to the father. So that's not a din of Yerusha. That's a din adbein kam tachasoviv. Evidivri also, Evidivri, the din, Evidivri, Evidus Abeimen, Evidus Abbas. Let's say a person has an Evidivri and he dies. So, Evik 90 goes by Rusha, it says in Chumash. It's the Chalta Moslem of Nech Machrechem, the Resh, it's Achuz of Solom, the other Mahem Tavoda. Evik 90 goes by Rusha, the Dorvidor. Evidivri doesn't go by Rusha, but it's a din, Evidivri, Evidus Abeimen, Evidus Abbas. If the other dies, Evidivri doesn't go by Rusha to the other relatives, doesn't even go to the daughter. Only goes to the son. Haben kam tachasaviv le evidivri. It's a din of kam tachto. So this is also a din of kam tachto. The son is kam tachasimo that he gets yerusha from the mother, but it's not really a din of yerusha. The minaf kemina. So the gemara has a din. Let's say the son dies before the mother. Let's say you have Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. So let's say, for argument's sake, Yitzchak dies first, before Avraham Avinu. And then after he dies, then Avraham Avinu dies. So the Gemara has an expression, Yitzchak Yarshans Bekever. Yitzchak Yarshans Bekever, Lahan Chilabonov, to give it to Yaakov and Esav, his two children. There's always a din. There's always a din of Yerusha Bekever. There's a din of Yerusha Bekever. Let's say my mother had, in my mother's family, there were four sisters and one brother. So the brother never got married. He was in the American Army in the Second World War. He was sick the rest of his life. He wasn't healthy. He was in and out of veterans' hospitals. So when he died, he had a few thousand dollars put away that the government had paid him for being in the Army. So one of my aunts had already, one of his sisters had already died previously. So the sister, when the brother died, so the four sisters Yarshin, but one of the sisters had already predeceased the brother. So she Yarshin's Bekever, all of her sisters died equally. All the four sisters divide the Yerusha equally. Each one gets 25%. There were four sisters. Each one gets a quarter. And then one of the sisters had predeceased the brother, so she had a few children. My mother also predeceased her brother, I think. So me and my sister divided my mother's quarter. Then the other sister had, I think, a few more, had three children. So the three children divided her share. That's a din. The Yorish, Yarshin's Bekever, even the Yorish died before the Morish. So the Yorish is Yorish Bekever, Lahanchil, to their relatives. So the Gemara has a din. If the son dies before the mother, then you say that Ben is Yorish Asimai. And who does the money go to? So if he has children, it goes to his children. But if he doesn't have children, you're going to say, Aden Yorish HaSimai, and the son predeceased the mother. So then the money is going to go to his brothers from his father, not her children. So the Gemara says, Ein Aden Yorish HaSimai Bekever, Lahan Chalachem Min Ha'ov. The son does not Yarshim Bekever. If the son predeceased the mother, the son does not Yarshim the mother to divert the Yerusha, that it should go to his brothers who have the same father but had a different mother. Why? Because Haben Yorish Hazim is not a normal din of Yerusha. So there's no din of Yorish Bekever. It's a din of Kom Tachtov. So Kom Tachtov doesn't apply in such a situation. The Gemara also has in Bechoris, the last daf in Perek Yesh Bechor. So the Gemara, one of the last Mishnayos there in the Perek, so the Gemara says, the din of Pishnayim, that the Bechor is entitled Pishnayim, the Chumash has it that if a man has many children and one is the Bechor, he gets a double share, he gets Pishnayim. What if a woman dies and the woman has a Bechor and the woman has assets? So the Mishnah says the din of Pishnayim is only by Yerusha Sa'av, not by Yerusha Sa'im. Why? Because Aben Yerusha Sa'im is not a normal din of Yerusha. It's a din of kom tachto. It can't be the normal din of Yerusha. Yerusha is only mishpacha. Yerusha is only mishpachta of Yerusha. Mishpacha same ain't a kriy mishpacha. Mishpacha same is sher bosa. But for Yerusha, you need mishpacha. So it's a din of kom tachtav. So here you don't say kom tachtav. You're not going to say the b'chor is kom tachtav twice as much as the pashut. The pashut and the b'chor, they both kom tachtav equally. So there's no din of pishnayim by the aim because it's a different din. It's a different din of Yerush. Yeah. So the dinim of Yerusha are pretty easy. I remember once a woman had a whole shayla of Yerusha. So she came to my home. She was giving me the whole story. How many children there are. Her mother died. And how many children there were. And who took care of the mother who didn't take care of the mother. It's lamala v'lamorin. Who took care of the mother who didn't take care. They're easy dinim. How to calculate who gets the Yerusha. Sometimes you have issues. You have Mishnayos in the end of Baba Basra. I don't think it's in Yesh Nechna. I think it's the next pair, Misha Meis. So sometimes, let's say, you don't know who died first, whether the mother died first, then the son gets the Yerusha, then the son dies afterwards. So then the Yerusha will be diverted to his brothers from the father, even though they're not children of the mother. But if the son predeceased the mother, then the din is Ena Ben Yerusha Sima. So sometimes you have to figure out who died first. Same thing, a husband and a wife. The din is Habal Yerush Asishtoi. Habal Yerush Asishtoi. So the din is also there, it makes a difference, whether the husband died first or the wife died first. The husband doesn't Yarshin Ishta Bikever. The husband doesn't Yarshin Ishta Bikever. So sometimes the Nazis killed so many Jews, sometimes it was unclear who died first. So they had, after the war, they had the Dine Torah. There are a lot of Mishnayos and Dinim about this, when you're not sure who died first. So the Din is Mammon, Hamoitzim Machabe Olavarai. So that's a big discussion. Who's considered the Muchzak on the money? So after the Second World War, the word Dine Torah, a lot of Jews left a lot of money in Swiss banks, and it wasn't clear who died, who was killed first. No one died. They were all killed. Who was killed first? So they had Dine Torah. The Paskin, it's not complicated. It's just all the Dinim are explicit. And the Gemara and the Mishnayos and the Shulchan Aruch. So again, so there's a din. The Bchor is entitled to Pishnayim. There's a famous vort that they say the name of the Vilna Gaon, and the Dayanim in Vilna said that it's not true. The Vilna Gaon never said it because it's not correct. That the Chumash says, Kisien Ali Shtei Nashim, Achas Ahuva Vachas V'yodol Labonim Ahuva V'hasnuwa. So it sounds like the Ahuva had a V'yodol Labonim, the Ahuva had a baby first. And this Noah had a baby second. Then it says, "V'hoya ben apchor lasniyo." How can it be the ben apchor lasniyo? If yoldo labonim ha'huva, Ahuva gave birth first, so the ben ha'huva should be the pchor. So they said that the name of the Vilna Gaon. No, the snua became pregnant first. This we know. The snua became pregnant first, and so even though yoldo labonim ha'huva, even though the Ahuva gave birth first. But since the snua became pregnant first, so the ben asnua is the pchor and he gets pishnayim. So the Dayanim in Vilna, when people were saying this in the name of Vilna Gaon, they put up signs all over Vilna soon after the Gur passed away. They said, no one should say anything over in the name of the Vilna Gaon unless they clear it. But them, that's not true. The Vilna Gaon is not going to say against the Gemara. It's a cute vettel, but the din is not correct. It depends who was born first. It doesn't depend which pregnancy happened first. So this din of Pishnayim, this is a big, you should know just, those are going to go into the rabbinate, you're going to have a sokim with conservative rabbis. The conservatives have a whole shtikel Torah over here that's utterly ridiculous. What does it mean, Pishnayim? So they claim, they have Gansena essays on this, that originally the din used to be, it's all false. Before I say it's all not true, it's Purim Torah. So they say Pishnayim means that the Bechor is entitled to 2/3, Pishnayim. So let's say a man has 10 sons, and the Bechor gets 2/3 of the whole Yerusha, then the other 9 sons divide the 1/3. So he's going to get so much more than the others. So after many generations, the Rabbanim realize that this is not fair, that the Bechor gets 2/3, and the other 9 children just get the 1/9 of 1/3. That's ridiculous. So they changed it. So they reinterpreted the pasuk that Pishnayim means he treat him as if he were 2 sons. How do they know that Pishnayim means 2/3? It's based on the pasuk in Malachim that when Eliyahu Navi was going up in the fiery chariot to heaven, so Elisha was walking with him, and he requested of Eliyahu Navi, his final request before Eliyahu Navi leaves this world is, Can he grant them a bracha? He should get pishnayim beruchacha. So what was he asking for? He was asking to have twice the koach hanavua of Eliyahu Navi. That's a chutzpah. What do you mean twice the koach hanavua? It means he was asking I should have two-thirds the koach hanavua. Give me the ability. Can't be that he's asking for twice as much. So just like pishnayim over there means two-thirds over here, it used to mean two-thirds. Then the rabbis changed it because it wasn't fair. So just like the rabbis and the Talmud changed the laws of the Torah when it's not fair, so we are also rabbis, so we can change all the laws in the Torah also when it's not fair. That's the whole shtick Torah that they have. So the Gemara has the tradition that Pishnayim by Elisha Navi means twice the Korach HaNavua of Eliyahu Navi. The Gemara said, what did he ask for twice the Korach HaNavua? Eliyahu Navi was Mechaya one mace, and Elisha was Mechaya two mace. And that's the pshat. And then Eliyahu Navi responded to him, when I will go up in the fiery chariot, if you're going to faint at the time, then your request will not be granted. If you don't faint at the time, then I give you a bracha that your request should be granted. What does it have to do whether he's going to faint or not? So there's a hesped from Ephraim Zalman Margolius. He gave a hesped when some other gadol died. So he explains pshat in that parsha in Sefer Melochim that there are two types of nevim. Sometimes a nevi gets koach hanavua from his rebbe, like by the Shivim Zekenim. It says, "Vayotz manuach asher alav." Moshe Rabbeinu had a koach hanavua, had a ruach hakodesh, and the koach hanavua spread to the other, to the Shivim Zekenim. And sometimes it doesn't come from another person. The person gets his direct koach hanavua, min hashamayim. So that's what Eliyahu HaNavi tells Elisha, you want to have twice the koach hanavua that I have. It depends. If your koach hanavua comes from me, so you can't exceed, you can't get more than I have. I can't give you more than I don't have. You can't have twice the koach hanavua. But so if when I die, when I'll go up to heaven, it says that after Eliyahu HaNavi went up in the fiery chariot to heaven, there were a lot of B'nai Hanavim, there were a lot of Talmidim Eliyahu HaNavi had. So they were looking for Eliyahu HaNavi, where is he? And Elisha said, he's not alive. He's not here on this world. And they were in a fog. They didn't know what was going on. So the reason why they didn't know what was going on, because their Koach HaNavua, whatever they had, was B'Koach Eliyahu HaNavi. So if Eliyahu HaNavi disappears, so they were in a fog. But that's what Eliyahu HaNavi says to Elisha. If you will retain your consciousness when I go up to heaven, that will be a similar dove, that you're not like the others, that your Koach HaNavua doesn't come from me. It's an independent Koach HaNavua. So then I give you a bracha that your request should be fulfilled. You should have pishnayim beruchacha. You should have twice the Koach HaNavua that I had. Then the Gemara points out that Elisha HaNavi was Mechaya two mace. He requested the double portion. So that's the tradition of Chazal is pishnayim doesn't mean this. The conservatives made up a whole pshat. Pishnayim means two-thirds. And the rabbis changed it. So we're rabbis. We can also change all the laws in the Torah if we're not happy with them, if the public is not happy. You can't change the laws in the Torah. So pishnayim doesn't mean two-thirds. Pishnayim means he treat the b'chor as if he's two children. So let's say a man has 10 sons and one was the first one to be born. Let's say he married, as the Mishnah has in Perek Yesh B'chorin. B'choris, next to the last Perek, is all about Pidyon HaBen and Pishnayim. So the Mishnah says, let's say a man marries a woman who was previously married. She has children from the first husband. But now the second husband marries her, and the first child that they have together is a boy. So even though there's no Pidyon HaBen because he's not a Peter Rechem, but he's the first child that the second husband had, so that child will get pishnayim, and the father's Yerusha. So let's say the father has 10 sons, and then the first son, the oldest one, is the Pchor. That was the first child that was born. So instead of dividing the Yerusha into 10 parts, and everybody gets one-tenth, you divide it into 11 parts, and you treat this Pchor as if he's two children. Pishnayim means you treat him as if he's two children. If the father, let's say, has only four sons, so you treat the b'chor as if he's two children. So instead of dividing the Yerusha into four parts, you divide into five. And the b'chor gets two-fifths. He gets as if he were two children. So the Mishnah has a din. This Mishnah is there. It's in Bava Basra. Also a lot in Perek Yesh Noach, in the beginning of the Perek. But it's also in B'choris, towards the end of that Perek Yesh B'chor. So the Mishnah has a din. The b'chor doesn't get pishnayim b'roi ki b'muchset. It means like this. So there are two kinds of roi ki b'muchset. So one case is nichse davu adava. Let's say, for argument's sake, Yitzchak, Avram Yitzchak and Yaakov, the grandfather, the father, and the son, So let's say Yitzchak dies before Avraham Avinu. That's not what happened. Avraham Avinu died first, and Yitzchak died second. So let's say if Yitzchak dies first, so then after Yitzchak dies, so let's say Yaakov and Esav, let's say for argument's sake, Yaakov is the Bchor and Esav is the Poshut. Happens that Esav was born first, but let's say for argument's sake, Yaakov is the oldest, he gets Pishnai. So the Pasuk says, as a Bchor ben Asnoa Yaakov lasa Pishnai mechol ashe yimotze lo, v'muchzak v'lo b'roi. Whatever assets the father had at the time of death, the Bchor is entitled to a double portion. But let's say the father didn't have the assets at the time of death. Yitzchak dies before Avram. Avram is also a multimillionaire. So after Yitzchak dies, then Avram Avinu dies, and Yitzchak yarshins bekever lahancha lebanav. So since Yitzchak didn't have the assets, the money that it belonged to Avram Avinu died after Yitzchak, then Yaakov doesn't get pishnaim on that. That's nichse davu adaba. If the grandfather dies after the father, then the grandson who's a bchor does not get pishnaim. So that's one case of roi, doesn't get roi. Then the Gemara has a machlokes satanoim. And we pass on the halacha that a halvor is also called roi. Let's say Yitzchak dies, and while he was alive, he lent $100,000 to somebody else, and he never collected the money back. After he dies, then the loiva comes to be Menachem Avol, and he gives the children $100,000. He pays back the loan. So there's a machlokes satanoim. The father had the $100,000 while he was alive, and he lent it to the loiva. So the mammon, the chiyuv mammon was there while the father was alive, but he didn't collect the money till after he died. So that's a machlokes satanaim. Is that called ra'oy or is that called muchzak? We paskan la'alacha like Rebbe, like the Tana Rebbe, Rabbi Yehuda Nasi, that's called ra'oy. So the b'chor doesn't get pishnaim. Not only nichse davu ad'abba, even over here, let's say the father bought a lottery ticket and the Irish sweepstakes. And the drawing for the lottery is after the father died. So the Bchor is only entitled to Pishnaim on the assets that the father had the day that he died. But the winning of the lottery ticket, that happened later. The drawing was after the father died. So the Bchor wouldn't get Pishnaim on that. So Milva is called Roy. Yeah. The Gemara has this is important. Gemara has a machloikis. Maybe there's a, why is a halva called ra'oi? So the Gemara has a machloikis. Maybe it should make a difference whether you lent the money, whether the father lent the money to a Jew or to a non-Jew. If he lent to one of them as opposed to the other, there's more of a chance of getting your money back. In which direction is there more of a chance of getting? You lent it to a Jew, lent it to a non-Jew. So the two girsas in the Gemara. So the simple girsa in the Gemara is if you lent to a Jew, you're more secure that you'll get the money back. Lent it to a non-Jew, it's riskier, so there's a bigger chance you won't get it back. So the Gemara had one opinion that if you lent to a non-Jew, then it's called Roy. Lent to a Jew, then it's called Muchzok. We don't accept that. The Goyim had a different girsa in the Gemara, the opposite. If you lent to a non-Jew, you're more secure of getting it back. How can that be? But the non-Jews are more honest. There's a more of a chance that non-Jews would pay the money. So the Yosameach explains no. He explains that the din is by the Jews as a din. If a ganef stole and he doesn't have enough money to pay the keren, forget about kefil. If he doesn't have money to pay the keren and the keren is so much, then you have a right to sell him for so much money. You have a right to sell him for 6 years to be an eved ivri. If he only stole so little that if it'll work for 1 year, he'll pay up the debt, then you have no right to sell him. Only if he stole so much and he doesn't have enough money to pay the keren. So then you sell him as an eved ivri for 6 years. So the pasuk says, v'nimka b'gnei basai. So the chazal have a drasha, v'nimka b'gnei basai v'lo b'chovo. There's no such thing as debt as prison. If the loiv owes money and he doesn't pay, you don't put him in prison. But the goyim, there's such a thing, debt as prison. No such thing of selling a person as an eved ivri because he didn't pay a halva. You only sell him if he stole. But by Nochrim, that's a Taisus and Avodah Zarah. By Nochrim, by Dina de Malchusa, by the Goyim, they have a law that if a person owed money and he doesn't have money to pay, so the government has a right, the police have a right to sell him as an Eved in order to collect the money on behalf of the Malva. So that, in a certain sense, if a Nochri borrows money, I'm secure of collecting it back, because if he doesn't have money to pay, the government will sell him as an eved, and I'll be able to collect that money. But if a Jew borrowed money and doesn't have money to pay back, you can't sell him as an eved. So you're less secure if a Jew borrowed than if a non-Jew borrowed. Whatever. There was one opinion in the Gemara that it makes a difference whether you lent the money to a Jew to a non-Jew. If you're more secure in collecting the money back, then it's called muchzok. And if you're not secure, then it's called right. So we pass on halacha, it doesn't make a difference. So there's a tshuva and a nadi bihuda. Most of the tshuva is nadi bihuda. One column, two columns, three, a page and a half. And this is a very short tshuva, a very brief tshuva. The shoyel was a tam chochem, and the shoyel raised the possibility, what if I have the father, before he died, bought government bonds. He bought a United States bond. So when you buy a government bond, it means a halvot to the government. You're lending money to the government. So what's you're going to call a government bond, or let's say he has money in a savings account. So if the father has money in a safe deposit vault, that's a pikudin. So that's muchzak. The father has the money, it belongs to him. It's shalai b'shusa. The bank is holding it on behalf of the father. But the money is not in a safe deposit vault. The money is in a savings account. The money doesn't sit there. Means I lent money to the bank and they go and they invest it. They make a lot of money and they give me back a few pennies. They give me back whatever, less than 1%. They give very little now. So all the banks are federally insured, FDIC. So that's like if you lend money to the government, there's a svara to say that you're not secure that it's going to be paid back. The government may collapse. Okay, but that's very far-fetched. If you lend money to a Jew, to a non-Jew, so they came to the conclusion, we don't distinguish that both of them are considered roi. But the shoyel in the tshuvas of the Nadi Bihuda, the shoyel was a tam chacham. The shoyel thought that if you lend money to the federal government or you have money in a savings account and it's federally insured, so that should be considered muchzak because you're more secure that it's going to be paid back. So the Nadi Bihuda paskins not so. That once the Gemara rejected the svara to distinguish between whether you lent money to a Jew or a goy, means that it's called ro'ui, not because you're not so secure. Even if you're absolutely secure, you're very secure, you're going to get it back. But a halva is called ro'ui. That's it. Zalocha. So this is a big shaila. How do we paskin? So they say that Rav Moshe, I think the Aruch HaShulchan thinks we should paskin like the shoyel, not like the Nadi Bihuda. I was told Rav Moshe Feinstein also paskin like that. They told me Rav Moshe Feinstein held that, let's say I put $1,000 in a bank and I never touched it and it accumulates interest and interest and interest and interest and interest. So not only the $1,000 is called muchzak, but I once had the $1,000. Now I gave it to the bank. I lent it to the bank and I'm getting interest. Even the interest and the interest and the interest is also called muchzak, even though I never had it. Since any day I can walk into the bank and ask for my money, they'll give me all the money back. Strictly speaking, they're not mechayev to give me more than a certain amount because they're not mechayev to have so much cash on hand. But if they have it, they probably will give me the money. And a lot of times you have a bank, you can come 3 o'clock in the middle of the night and take out money if you have a card. You can take out money from the machine. There's a limit how much you can take out. But Rav Moshe felt, Rav Moshe and Aruch HaShulchan, they think the din should be like the Shah. And others hold no, the din should be like the Nadi Bihuda. Nadi Bihuda responded that it's still called, all halvois al pidin are called ro'ui. You need an explanation? Okay. So I printed a daitar in my safe about this ro'ui and muchzuk. Why I thought the Nadi Bihuda was right. And I printed a whole daitar about this. So that's a shaila how we paskin. This is relevant not only to the poor getting pishnam. This is relevant to abal, more common. It's relevant to abal yarish asishtoi. The din is that if the husband dies, the wife does not yarshin the husband. Husband dies, wife is entitled to collect the ksuba. Ksuba is a fortune of money, a big fortune of money, but maybe well over $100,000, maybe even over $200,000, a lot of money. If you want to figure out how much the ksuba is, ksuba, if he married a girl who's a psula, so it's 200 zikukin, kesef tzar. Zikukin are coins from the days of the Maharil, Austrian coin, German Austrian coins. So you have to look in the Bi'ur Agro, the beginning of Siman Shin Hei and Yeredei. That's a siman about Pidyon HaBen, where he tells you how much is each zakuk equal to, and it comes out to be a fortune of money, the 200 zakuk in Kesef Tzor. So if the husband died, a couple is married, the husband died, the wife does not yarshin the husband, the wife is entitled to collect the ksuba, which is a large sum of money. But if the wife dies, then the din is habal yarshis ishta. So that's a machlekes satanoim. The habal yarshis ishta is a din deraisa, din derabanan. And it's a machlekes the Rambam and the Raibit. The Rambam paskins in Hilchas Nachlas, as well as Hilchas Ishus, both. The Rambam paskins that habal yarshis ishta is only midderabanan. And the Raibit writes, not so. The Raibit holds like the other tanoim, that is the din deraisa. There are several slight differences, la aloche, between whether you hold that Abal Yerusha Sishtai, even if it's the Rabbanon, it's based on Hefka Bezna Hefka, so it should lead you to the same result anyway. The Gemara has a few slight nafkaminas, not such major nafkaminas. One of the nafkaminas ought to be, the simple reading of the Gemara, that let's say a man is 75 years old and his wife dies, and then he wants to remarry. So he's going to marry a woman who is not going to marry a young girl. He's going to marry a woman who's already too old to have babies. So she's not going to have any children from her second husband. So the shaila is, Abal Yerush HaZishtai. Let's say the woman is an almana, and she collected a lot of the husband, left the will, and he left all the money to his wife. And then he had children. Now the wife is going to remarry, and if the wife is going to die first, and the second husband is going to walk off with all the Yerusha, and her children are not going to get anything. That's not reasonable. That's not fair. So what the common practice is, they make a prenuptial agreement. Before they get married, the second husband says he's moichel on the schus yerush. So the Gemara says that if Habal Yerush is Ishtai is a din deraisa, then the Gemara said that you can't be misalik. Somebody wants to give me a matana, so he can't give me a matana bal korchi. I have to agree to the matana. But if someone, a relative dies, you get the yerushat bal korchacha, even if you don't want it. The only yerushat you don't get bal korcha is the pishnayim, because the pasuk says by the b'chor, sabcha ben asnoi yakir, lasis lo pishnayim, matana kai rachmana. So since it's a matana, just like a matana, if I refuse to accept the matana, you can't force it down my throat, you can't make me kind of the matana bal korchi. So the Pishnayim is not acquired by the Bchor if he doesn't want it. If he's Mevater, Bchor Shaviter, so that he's Moichel on the Pishnayim, he can do it. But the Shaila is, let's say, I make a declaration, when my father dies, I don't want to get the Yerusha. So I get the Yerusha Bal Korchi, whether I like it or not. Yerusha is Bal Korchi. So the Gemara says, what about the Baal before he gets married? He says to the wife, he doesn't want to get the Yerusha. So the Pashat, the reason, reading of the Gemara seems to be, if Abba Yerush is Ishta is a din deraisa, so Yerusha goes Bal Korcha. It's only a din derabanan. So then the Gemara has a concept, the person can say, la nichli betakanta derabanan. Whatever the Chacham made a takana, the Tzorki, so it's considered like a schus. So you have a right to be moichel on the schus. So the Baal can say, but the Gemara says, he can't be moichel on a dovish lebol yolam. So before he remarries the woman, he can't be moichel. So it's really prenuptial agreement. Before he marries her, he can't be moichel because no mechila on a dovish lebol yolam. What if he already married her? And then after they marry, after Erisin, then he says he's moichel on the schus Yerusha. So the Gemara says, yodo ki yodo, yodo adifa mi yodo, machlekes habay v'rava. You can't be moichel. It's like mechila on a bien. Just like, let's say, I own a jacket. I say, I'm moichel the jacket to you. It can't be moichel. It's a bien. You can only be moichel. Schusi moment. So the Gemara says, during erisin, the Baal can be moichel. Before erisin, the schusi rusha is a dovish al-bali yodam. And after nisuin, it's considered as if he already has the bien, even though the wife is still alive. It's considered as if yoda ki yoda, yoda adifa mi yoda. That's a detail, machlek sabai ve'rava, how you word it with nafkaminis ladina. But then it's too late to be a moichel. It's called mechila on the bien. But during erisin is a very short window of opportunity. He says, Hariyah Mekudeshesli. They're standing under the chuppah. He says, the rabbi says the birchas erusin, chosen hariyat, and he gives the kala a ring. So then after he gives her the ring, then he gives it. It's not nice to say under the chuppah moichel, this chus yirusha. So he fills out a prenuptial agreement, fills out a document, puts it in an envelope, and under the chuppah, he gives it to the wife during erusin, before they do the nisuin. They don't have a mind to be koneh the nisuin until after they say the shevet brachas. Really, the nisuin should be chal right away. They're standing under the chuppah. But they probably have a mind, not the nisuin shouldn't take effect until after the Masada Kedushin says the shevet brachas under the chuppah. So that's for those 2 minutes, that's in between erusin and the nisuin. So that's for the practice. The Rabbanut and Eretz Yisrael has a text available upon request. When one makes a zivik sheni, how to be mesalik from the Yerusha, he just writes, he's moichel b'zchus Yerusha and gives it during erusin. The people do that because in a certain sense, it won't be fair if the husband's going to yarshin from the second wife and she has children from the first marriage. So that's not fair. Why should the husband take the whole Yerusha and give it to his children when he dies? He should really give it to her children. So that's why the common practice is that you make a mechila in such a situation. So the din is, there's a din, habal yarishas ishtoi. So the Gemara has a din, habal, the Mishnah has in Bechoros, on daf, something like daf nun or something, habal yarishas ishtoi, yeah.
Why can't she write a, like just the same way her first husband wrote a will to give all the money to his wife, why can't she write a will that all her stuff should go to the children for a previous marriage?
We're going to have to talk about wills. Wills don't always work. It's not so pushing. Okay, we'll get there in a minute. So one of the dinim in the Mishnah is that just like the b'chor is not entitled to pishnayim and ra'ui, so too the husband, habal yarishas ishtoi, only b'muchzak and not b'ra'i. So take, for example, the wife dies, and after the wife dies, then her father dies. So the minute the wife dies, he's not related to her anymore. She's not his wife anymore. The Gemara says, ein ishas, ein shevis lachamisa. After she dies, they're not related anymore. In fact, that's the Rogachova learns in his Svarim, that's exactly the Machlekes HaTanaim, the Machlekes, the Ramam and the Raivet, but Abal Yerushas Ishto is a Din D'Oraisa, Din D'Rabbanan. Half of the Tanoim held that it cannot be a Din D'Oraisa, because once the if my father dies, and then I get the Yerushas, he's my father, even after he died, there's still a father and a son. He's not alive anymore, but he was my father, so I'm entitled to the Yerusha. But if the wife dies, the marriage is terminated. They're not related anymore. So how does the husband have the right to get the Yerusha? So the other Tana holds no. Since up until the moment that she died, they were married. And the second that she dies, that's when the marriage is terminated. So that's when the Din Yerusha sets in, Abal Yerusha Sishta is their rice. But the other Tana holds no. Abal Yerusha Sishta can't be their rice because once she dies, Ein Shevis Lachamisa, Ein Ishas Lachamisa. So that's why the Baal can Yarshan. There's a problematic Rambam. The Rambam writes the dinim of Tumas Kohanim, that a Kohen is not allowed to be Matam Lemesi. He has all the dinim in Hilchas Ovel. So the Rambam writes that the din, there are 7 relatives, that a Kohen is Matame, siblings, a brother and a sister, children, a son and a daughter, and parents, a father and a mother, and then the spouse. So the Rambam says that the Kohen is Matame Le'ishtoi, his spouse, that's only Midrabbanan, Asu'u'a Kemeis Mitzvah. So the Ravid asks, it doesn't say that in my Gemara. He says his Gemara, in the Gemara it says, if the man is married mid the Rabbanan, Kiddusha Ketana is only mid the Rabbanan. If a girl is not yet Bas Mitzvah, so if she has a father, the father can marry her off. That's Kiddusha and the Raisa. If she doesn't have a father, she's the Yisayma, and the mother, Yisiyua Ima V'Acher, the mother or the older brothers marry her off. So that's only Kiddusha mid the Rabbanan. It can be broken up with Miun. You don't need a get. She can go to Bezen and say she's not happily married and she wants to undo the marriage, so it breaks it up. There's no need for a get. And she's allowed to marry a kohen. She's allowed to marry the husband's brother because it's considered as, it's an annulment. It's considered as if the whole marriage never existed and never got off the ground. That's a din of miyun. So the Gemara says, if a kohen was married to a woman only midirabbanan, kiddush and rabbanan, kiddush ektana, so how can it be metamei? When the wife dies, the kohen is matamei l'ishtoi, but on the level of the reis, it's not his wife. How can the chachamim permit the kohen to be matamei to the meis? So the Gemara says, Hasu'a kemeis mitzvah. In that case, it'll be a bizayin ha'meis. It'll look as if they didn't get along. There was no shalom bayis. The husband's not going to attend the wife's funeral. So they declared it like a meis mitzvah. So the Rabbit asks, that explanation that the Rabbit, that the Rambam wrote about his metamei le'ishta because Hasu'a kemeis mitzvah, the Gemara only says that if he married a ketana, kiddushi ketana is the Rabban. The Gemara didn't say if a man is married, a kohen is married to a normal wife, that's not metamei midirabban, that's menatoira. So where did the Rambam get this from? So the Ragat Shabba thinks that he got it from the Machlokes HaTanoim by Yerusha. It was a Machlokes, but Abal Yerushas Hishtas, the Raisa of the Rabbanon. The Rambam paskens only the Rabbanon. But what's the reason for the Tana holds the Rabbanon? Because once she dies, the Ishus is Paka, so they're not related anymore. So how can he Yarshin her? So the Rambam held, who had the Nami, if Abal Yerushas Hishtas is only the Rabbanon, then who had the Nami? Abal Metamel Hishtas is only the Rabbanon. What are you going to say? A Kohen divorced his wife and then she dies. So he's not betami to her. If he divorced her before she died, then at the time she dies, she's not married to him. So even if he never divorced her, but if she dies, then the marriage is over. So it's not his wife anymore. The issue is terminated. So that's what the Ragachava thinks. That's with the Rambam. Where was the mocker for the Rambam? That Abba Metama the Ishta is only with the Rabbanon because Abba Yosha's Ishta is only with the Rabbanon. It's one issue. That there's no issues like Misa, so how can it be a din derisa of Yerusha? How can it be a din derisa that is metami to her? So Nachamot, so the Mishnah has this din about Yerusha's Ishtoi, but he doesn't yarshin beroi only be muchsuk. So what's an example of roi? So let's say the wife dies and whatever asset she has, the husband yarshins. But after the wife dies, then her father dies, then her rich father, then the father-in-law dies after the wife dies. So what are you going to say? The wife yarshins bekevel hanchel to the husband. So that not, once the wife died, they're not related anymore. The issue is paka. So the baal is not yarish, but roi keba muchsa. So this is the big shaila. This is a big shaila halacha maaseh. So let's say a woman died and the husband yarshins everything, but she had a lot of money in the bank, in a savings account. Does the husband yarshin all the money in the savings account? So that should be... So here, there's a Shitas Rimigash. The Rimigash was a Talmud of the Rif. The Rif lived in Morocco for many years till the age of 75. And then there was an Alila. They accused him of being disloyal to the government. So he had to run away to Spain. And he started a second career at the age of 75 and he lived till 90. And all the famous students of the Rif are from the second career after the age of 75. So the most famous is the Rimigash. So the Rimigash was the Talmud of the Rif, the Rebbe of the Rambam's father. So the Rimigash has a girsa in the Gemara in Bava Kamma, and according to his girsa, the din that halva is considered ra'ui, that's only vis-a-vis a p'chor. The p'chor doesn't get pishnai. But as far as habal yerush es ishtai, halva is considered muchsa. So if the wife lent money to other people and she didn't collect the money until after she dies, then the husband does yarshin. So we don't pass like that. That's only the Rimigash holds like that. There's a Beishmul and Ebenezer, and that's Simon. I think it's Simon Pei, if I'm not mistaken. So the Beishmul says the Magen Mishneh thinks that the Rambam agrees with the Rimigash on this. So the question is, can the husband say Kimli? Whenever someone is muchzik on money and there's a machlekes, but he has to surrender the money to someone else, so you go bus a rov poskim. So rov poskim say that the husband does not yarshim beroi kima muchzik, and even a halva is also called roi. Tosis in a few places writes like that. Most of the rishonim disagree with the Rimigash. They hold just like halva is considered roi by the b'chor, halva is considered roi by a bal yorish esishta, and the husband doesn't get the irush. Only the Rimigash stands alone. So the Beis Shmuel says, even if it's correct that the Magen Mishnah, even if the Magen Mishnah were correct, that the Rambam seems to agree with the Rimigash. They have two major Rishonim, all like this, the Rambam and the Rimigash. So it's not a Shiti Yechido. So we have a klal. If someone is Muchzik on Mammon, and there's a suffix, HaMotzim HaChaver Olav Harai, the one who is Muchzik keeps it. What if you have a Machloikis HaPoskim? And we pass like the majority of the Poskim. But over here, the husband is muchzik. Let's say the wife died, and someone came and he paid back the halva. The husband is sitting shiva. And the loiva comes in the middle of Shiva and he gives the husband $100,000 that he had borrowed from the wife years before. And the husband is holding on to the money. So then the Yorshim, let's say the Yorshim said, we want that. Her children want it. Her brothers, let's say she has no children. Her brothers want that money. The husband says, no, I want the money. So strictly speaking, it's ro'i. Halva is ro'i, according to Rav Poskim. And the husband is not entitled, so he has to surrender the money. So the Achrani came up with this idea, the one who's muchzik and taina kimli, I hold la locha like the shitas hayichidim. I hold like the minority opinion, and I'm etzem machaber olivara. You can't take the money away from me. The bezim will not paskin like that. Bezim will paskin that he has to surrender the money. But he, if he knows the din, he can taina kimli, I hold like the shita. So they have klonim. When do you have the right to say kimli? So one of the klonim is, if it's just the shita yichidot, just the meiri holds like that, nobody else holds like that, so you ignore it. You can't say kimli. So just because the Rima Gash has a shita, you can't say kimli. What if you have the Rambam agrees with the Rima Gash? These are two major rishonim, even though it's a minority opinion, but it's no longer shita yichidot. So the Beis Shmuel writes an interesting insight. He thinks that the Rambam was so kofuf to the Rima Gash. The Rama writes in one place, the Rima Gash was Sichlo Mabis Bechola Talmud. He was a super genius and knew Kol HaTorah Kula. Every so often, the Ramam disagrees with the Rima Gash, but usually the Ramam is very kofuf to the Rima Gash. So the Beis Shmuel says, since the Ramam is so kofuf to the Rima Gash, even if it's true that what the Magen Mishnah wrote, that the Ramam agrees with the Rima Gash, we consider this a Shita Yechidor, and the husband cannot tie a kimli. Even though the husband is muchzik on the halvoa, the loiva gave it back to the husband when they were sitting shiva. So the husband has no right to say kimli; he has to surrender it to the yorshim, to the children, or to the siblings of the wife who died, because this is really a shita chido. So but that's because it was a real halvoa. But what if it's, let's say, money in the savings account? The savings account is federally insured. So that was the shayla, the Nadi Yehuda with the shayl. So the Orach HaShulchan, Rav Moshe Feinstein, think we should paskin like the shayl, that even by the pchor, a halvoa that's federally insured, a halvoa to the government, federal bonds, is considered muchzik and not considered roi. So this is a shayla halacha lemaisa. How are you going to paskin in such a case? Not kamina for a fortune or money. Now we got to talk a little bit about savoyas. So there's Rebbe, a Mishnah. Yes, please.
Just going back, Rebbe said that the Rambam holds that Baal is metamel ishto shasu kemis mitzvah, and Rabbi Chover had a pshat. But isn't a pasuk beferish kiim l'shara karavilo? It's a pasuk beferish that the Baal is metamel ishto midaraisa. And how can the Rambam?
Yeah, that's a question. Does kiim l'shara shara is a ishto, or l'shara means to his relatives colon the aviv le'imo? Shara means the following relatives. Did the Torah Shabbal Peh say that that's Pshat Ben HaTorah? Shero, a korvel of Kama, Leoveli Makama, or the Shero korvel of Kolin, the following six relatives. So that's the Machloikas, the Ramam, and the Ravid. So the Ravid says there never was a Machloikas. Nobody ever said that is the Rabban. So the Ragachov explained that the Ramam thinks that it depends on whether Yerusha's Habal is the Raisa or the Rabban. Good. Very good. You're paying attention. Okay. What's the din? Does a person have the right to make a tzavua before he dies to change the Yerusha? So the Mishnah in Daf, I think it's Kuf Lamed Amud Aleph in Per Yesh Nochlin, Mishnah quotes the Tana, who says the pasuk in Chumash reads, when the father is about to give the Yerusha to the children. What do you mean the father is about? The Malach HaMavis takes my life and I drop dead and the Yerusha goes by itself. I'm not manchil. So you see from the pasuk, the Torah gives the father the right to decide who should get how much Yerusha. The father has a right to make a tzavua. And we pass like that Tana. So the Mishnah says that the father has a right only bein ben abanim. Let's say I have three sons. So two sons are in learning, one son is in business. So I'll leave it tzavua. Instead of leaving one-third the millions of dollars that I'm going to leave when I die, So instead of dividing it equally among the three sons, I'll say the two sons in learning, they need the money more than the other one. So I want to give 40% to one son, 40% to the other son, 40, 40 is 80. And the remaining 20%, I'll leave to my son who's a businessman. So it may be a stupid thing to do. Maybe my son will hate me forever. He'll never forgive me why I cheated him, why I only gave him 20%. Maybe it's not a smart thing to do. Wouldn't be recommended, okay. But the Mishnah says, Bein Bet Amonim, all the three sons are in line to get Yerusha. They're all in line to get one-third. So then Torah gives me the right to change the proportions. I can give 40%, 40%, and 20%. But let's say I want to make a tzavua. I want all the children to Yarshan equally. The daughters, sons and the daughters. So the daughters are not in line to get anything. Whenever there are sons, the daughters don't get. So you can't just say, I'm leaving a tzavua based on their pasuk. The daughters are not in line to get anything. So you cannot make such a tzavua. Such a tzavua is not valid. Furthermore, the Gemara has a suffix. Maybe this din b'yam hanchil azbanav, the Torah nostam reshus lav lahanchil. Maybe that's only when the father is a shchid meira. There is a din med the rabbanan. There is shchid meira kiksuv v'mchim surindam. That's a din med the rabbanan. The Gemara gives a whole explanation why they made such a takana de rabbanan. That's not a din deraisa, but we usually say called the tikkun rabbanan came deraisa tikkun. So where do you have a din deraisa? Where do you have a din deraisa that depends on a shchid meira? So the Gemara raises the possibility that maybe this pasuk that says biyom achilas banav, biyom achilas goes only when the father's already a shchid meira. What if the father fills out the tzavua when he reaches the age of 50? That's what some achronim recommend. There's a very good sefer on Hilchas Avelus that's called Chaim Avrochon Mishmerishol. It was written 100 years ago. And he has all of Hilchas Avelus alphabetically arranged. You can find something very quickly. He has also a sefer Chaim Avrochon Mishmerishol and Hilchas Dalet Minim. There's all the dinim of Dalet Minim alphabetically arranged. Fantastic sefer. So in that sefer Chaim Avrocha, he quotes Achrayim who recommend under the letter Tzavor, alphabetically under Tzavor. So he quotes Achrayim who recommend that one should make a Tzavor when he reaches the age of 50. Why? Based on the pasuk, "Vishnasa Yovel Azos Toshuvu Ishal Achuzosai." So the simple pshat is when it comes Shnasa Yovel, whoever sold the Steachuzo to someone else gets it back. So does Chosah in Eretz Yisrael, the Chosah LeBaleim BeYovel. When it comes Yom Kippur, everybody gets back the stay achuza. The one who has the stay mikna has to surrender and give it back to revert back to become a stay achuza. So the Achrayim said, Derech Drush, when a person reaches the age of 50, he should consider the fact that we are going to return to our Maker. We're not going to live forever. We're going to die. We're not going to die at the age of 50, we hope. We should have an arichas yamim, but one should start preparing a tzavua at the age of 50. I remember Rabbi Gifter's daughter-in-law was very shocked. Why Rabbi Gifter, when he had his 50th birthday, so he told the children that he made a tzavua. So the daughter-in-law, one of his daughters-in-law, was very upset. Why is he so morose? Why does he think he's going to die? So I said, no, he doesn't think he's going to die. That's what it says in the poskim. They should make a tzavua. So Taka, after he passed away, many years later, after he passed away, he left in his tzavoya that whenever the children have a shayla in Hilchos Avelos, they should follow what it says in the sefer, Chaim Avrochon Mishmerishol. So that's one of the things that it says in that sefer, that one should make a tzavoya when he reaches the age of 50. So at the age of 50, the person is not a shchid meira. So the Gemara has an ibay de leib sheet, and maybe this whole din, father has the right to change the proportions of the Yerusha. If it's Bein Ben Abonim, if it's Roy Liyosho, he can change the proportions. Maybe that's only if the father's holding by Shchid Meira. But if he's at the age of 50 and he's not at all sick, maybe the whole Din Deraisa of Tzavah doesn't apply. So how come people make Tzavahs before the Shchid Meira? How come it has any tokev? So Rabbi Kivega has a tshuva. He says, whatever the father wants has to be observed mitam kibir aviyeh. The father wants to, let's say the father says, he has six daughters and three sons. He wants to divide the Yerusha equally. So the children shall listen because of the din of kibir aviyeh. In the Shulchan Aruch, there are more quotes from the Hagos Maimoni. Hagos Maimoni was a Talmud of the Maharam Rutenberg. That was the period of the later Bali Atosis. So already in the days of the Bali Atosis, they felt that this is going to cause friction. If you're going to leave all the dinim deraisa the way they are, that only the sons get Yerusha, the daughters don't get Yerusha, the daughter's going to be very upset why the father didn't leave them any Yerusha. So that's why they recommend that the father should leave a shtikl Yerusha for the daughters. In the days of the Rishayim and the Shulchan Aruch, they talk about leaving, writing a shtar chatzi zocha. The father makes a document that he wants each one of the daughters to get like a half a son. Each son, let's say, is going to get $100,000, so the daughter should, each one of the daughters should get $50,000. They quote in the name of Shlomo Zalman Auerbach that today, because of the world situation, if you're going to give the daughters a shtar chatzi zocha, they'll never forgive the father. So it's recommended you should give the daughters an equal share to the sons. So we'll have to figure out how to do that, how to make that binding. So Rabbi Akiva Eger writes in a tshuva, the children have to follow the tzavah of the father because of kibbut aviyim. The thing is that mishum kibbut aviyim, you're not koyfe. The Gemara says in the beginning of Perek Kol HaBasar and Chulin, the kibbut aviyim is a mitzvah says the shemat and tzchor betzida. The Chumash and Aseres Adibas promises that the arichas yamim kibbilah ladavaze ibrech Hashem alakecha. They'll have an arichas alman yarichon yamecha. So since it's a mitzvah says the shemat and tzchor betzida, so the beznan is not koyfe. So if there's a lot of money involved, even if there's a little money involved, the sons may not want to fulfill the mitzvah of kibbut aviyim. Some raised an objection that the Gemara has a din kibbut aviyim is only mishal bein, v'lo kibbut aviyim is mishal av, v'lo mishal bein. That's why my father says to me, he'd like to go visit Eretz Yisrael. Could I please make the arrangements? So I say, okay, give me your credit card. And I make all the arrangements. My father says, no, keep it IBM. You use your credit card. You spend the money on the trip. You buy the tickets. You pay the tickets for me. And you pay for the hotel. And you pay for all the transportation. So the Gemara has a discussion. The Gemara says, no, keep it IBM is Michel A, below Michel Bain. The son is not Mukhif to spend money for keep it IBM. So that's what some Rabbanim thought, that Rabbi Kiveger is not right. He says that the children have to follow the tzavua of the father because of kibbutav. That's kibbutav mishal bein. The children got the Yerusha, and they don't want to give it to the daughter. So that's, he can't require of them they should surrender money. So Rabbi Kivega said that's not true, because all the money belongs to the father now. He didn't die yet. The father's still alive. And he's telling them what they should do with the money. After he dies, he thinks that this is kibbutav mishalav. This is not mishal bein, that the din is kibbutav is not mishal bein. Thinks the children are mechui. But unfortunately, we know when it comes to Yerusha, there's money involved. The children, a lot of the children will not listen to the kibbut aviyim. They'll violate it. So if the father knows the children will listen. Rav Moshe Feinstein and Rav Soloveitchik didn't make kinyon. They just made a regular will, and then we rely on kibbut aviyim, that the children will follow what they said. But in Shulchan Aruch, they're afraid. If the children won't want to listen, so you want to make it legally binding. How can you make it legally binding? So we have a din. Mitzvah l'kaim divrei ameis. A din mid the rabbanon. If he made divrei shchimera while he's a shchimera, it's chalik nachas about peeps. So then divrei shchimera kiksuv v'chemsum dam. That would work. But usually, when the person is a shchimera toward the end, shchimera is not a ghost. Shchimera means he's sick in bed. So usually at the end, he's not talking about Yerusha. Usually he makes the tzavua way before. So Divrei Shchemera doesn't apply. The question is, what about mitzvah l'kaim divrei ameis? The person said at the age of 50, he wants to divide all the nechasim equally among the sons and the daughters. And maybe I should say mitzvah l'kaim divrei ameis. So Tosfos in a few places, in Gittin, Daf Yud Gimel, and in Bava Basra, gigantic Tosfos, in a few more places, Tosfos says you have to limit mitzvah l'kaim divrei ameis, because there's so many Gemaras seem to ignore it. We know what the father wanted, and still the Gemara says, you don't have to listen. So how do you limit it? So the accepted opinion in Shulchan Aruch is, maybe we shouldn't have accepted it, but that's the way it says in Shulchan Aruch, that mitzvah l'kaim divrei ameis only applies to hushlash m'tchila l'kach. If I gave over all the money to someone else while I'm alive, and I said, after I die, I want you to give $100,000 to each one of the daughters. Everyone will get a decent amount of Yerusha. But if I didn't give over the money is still in my bank account. It wasn't hushlas. I just left the tzavua. So that's not included in mitzvah l'kayim divrami. It has to be hushlas m'tchila l'kach. The poskim say, let's say I put the money in a trust account in the bank, a separate account, and I said, this is in trust for this daughter, $100,000 in trust for their $500,000 for this daughter, $500,000 for that daughter, $500,000 for this daughter, each daughter. So even though the trust account is revocable, I can always go to the bank and change it. I can take all the money out and put it back in my bank account. But since that's called Hushlish Mitchila Lakach, I told them, make a trust account on behalf of that child. So that's called Hushlish Mitchila Lakach. So then it will be legally binding according to Halacha, that the children would have to follow the tzavua of the father. But not everybody makes a trust account. Not everybody makes a trust account. So in the Shulchan Aruch, the Ramah quotes from Nagos Maimini about the father wants to give a share of the Yerusha to the daughters. He wants to give Chatzi Zachar, half the amount each one of the sons are going to get. Of his mind is that perhaps they want to give an equal amount. The sons are always got an equal amount. So how does he do that? He can't just make a tzavot. So one way would be to make a trust account on behalf of each one of the daughters. That's hushlash m'tchila l'kach. That'll be legally binding. You make a secular will, so it's binding according to Din and Machusa. Because unfortunately, a lot of times, even Orthodox people, when it comes to Yerusha, they'll either go to Bezdin or to secular court, which is in their best interest, which is not permissible. Not allowed to go to secular court. If you have a case with a non-Jew, you're allowed to go to secular court. If you have a case with another Jew, you can't go to secular court. And we don't apply Din and the Machus Adina over here. There was, in the days of Rabbi Yosef Karo, there was a young Talmid Chacham who was, I think, a teenager. When Rabbi Yosef Karo passed away, he became big. There was a din Torah that he was involved in. He became famous. Then Marit Tzahalon, Rabbeinu Yontov Tzahalon. So he writes in his Chuvis that he lived in Tzfat in the 1500s. So he writes in his Chuvis, he was sent by the Rabbanim in Tzfat to visit the villages where the Jews lived in the Arab countries at that time, to explain to the Jews that they can't follow Din and Machus when it comes to Yerusha. Din and Machus Din only applies when at least one of the parties involved is a non-Jew. But if the man who died is Jewish and all the relatives are Jewish, you don't apply Din and Machus to say the son and the daughter Yashan equally. They don't Yashan equally. So you can't rely on Din and Machus. So you have to make real kinyan, and that should be legally binding. So the question is, how can the father make it legally binding that he's going to give a share to the daughters? So the Ramah quotes from the Hagos Maimoni on the Rambam that the father can accept, let's say if he has, it's unpleasant to talk to the daughters and the daughter should give the father a handkerchief to be kind of his chayvus from the father. He wants to be mishabed himself to give each daughter $500,000. Or whatever, $100,000. So it's uncomfortable to make the kiyonim with the daughter. So you say zalchan liadam shleimafan. If you have a Jewish lawyer, he only says zalchan liadam shleimafan if it's Jewish people. If they're non-Jews, zalchan doesn't apply. So if you have a Jewish lawyer, let the lawyer give his handkerchief to the father, and the father says, by my accepting the handkerchief, I obligate myself to give each one of the daughters whatever, $300,000. Yeah, but if he says it like that, then they're going to come today and they want to collect, if they'll find out about it, they'll say they want to collect the money now. If they don't get along with the father, they want to clean him out. They'll take all the money right now. So if the father says, I obligate myself to give each one of the daughters $300,000 after I die. So that's en kinyan lachamisa. If you make a kinyan on either a makna, the house lachamisa, or I make his chaybus lachamisa, so that's a din en kinyan lachamisa. That's not so. Mm-hmm. Moshe Feinstein has a chiddush that most of Rabbanim have not accepted. Moshe has it tacked on to a different tshuva. This really deserves a tshuva b'fnei atzmo and long arichas. Moshe has a chiddush that en kinyan lachamisa only goes in the following case. I make a kinyan, I give you ownership of my house starting from September 1st, and then I die on August 15th. So who did the house belong to in between August 15th and September 1st? I died. It doesn't belong to me. It belongs to my Yorshim. So how does it go from my Yorshim on September 1st to you? It's not mine anymore. I can't. So Moshe says the only time you say Ein Kinyan L'Chamisa is if there's a gap in between the time that the Makna dies and the Kinyan takes effect L'Chamisa. So Ein Makna Dovish Ein Shaloi. When the Kinyan is going to take effect, the thing doesn't belong to him anymore. But if there's no gap, he says, Kozman that I'm alive, I want all of my assets to belong to me. The moment that I die and I can no longer own the assets, I want to obligate myself to give each one of the daughters $300,000, $500,000, whatever, something like that. So Moshe has a chiddush that's not called Ein Kinyan L'Chamisa. Many disagree with Rav Moshe. There used to be a dayan in London by the name Dayan Grosnas. He wrote a whole tshuva in his Sefer Lev Aryeh where he thinks that Rav Moshe is against B'feirush HaGemara. Many Talmid Chachamim have not accepted this tshuva Rav Moshe. It's a very big chiddush. That Ein Kinyan L'Chamisa, only if there's a gap in between the time that the Makna dies and the time that the Kinyan is supposed to take effect. But if there's no gap, there's no problem. Then you say, Yesh Kinyan L'Chamisa. Pashta says that it's not so. So the shaila is, the father has to, let's say, the father usually mishabed himself. So let's say the Jewish lawyer gives the father a handkerchief and he says, by you accepting the handkerchief, you are hereby obligating yourself to owe each one of the, let's say he has six daughters and three sons. He's going to owe each one of the daughters $300,000. So then the daughters collect, not the Torah Sirusha, the daughters collect the chayv. But he doesn't want them to be able to clean them out now. And he can't say, I obligate myself, his chayv should take effect after I die. And King Lachamisa has to obligate himself now. Also, most of the Rishonim disagree with the Rambam. There's a famous Rambam. The Rambam writes that you can make a kinyan chalipim, what we call a kinyan sura. You can make a kinyan sura lachalamed yom. Just like you can make a shtar, I can make a kinyan kesel lachalamed yom. I make a kinyan today and I want it to take effect at a later date. So let's say I want to sell you my house. I'm going to move to Eretz Yisrael. I want to sell my house. So I'm going to move to Eretz Yisrael in August. So I want to sell my house as of September 1st. So if I make the kinyan, I de shtar, and you still have the shtar when it comes September 1st, you come into the house. If I make the kinyan, I de kesef, you pay me $1 million for the house, or $10 million for the house, and then it comes September 1st, you own the house. What if you make a kinyan chazoka? Kinyan chazoka is either kinyan now or it's not kinyan at all. Can't make a chazoka lachazman. So the Ran holds, most of the Rishonim hold, the same is true regarding kinyan suder. You can't make a kinyan suda now that should take effect later. That's what we call kolsa kinyona. And the Rambam says b'feirush not so. So there's a long case of Mishnah on the Rambam, and he shows that the Rambam doesn't agree with the other Rishonim. But most Rishonim hold not like the Rambam. You can't make a kinyan chalipin unless it's chal now. So here, let's say the Jewish lawyer is going to give me a handkerchief that's a kinyan chalipin. I should create a hischaibus. I should owe each one of the six daughters $300,000. I don't want to owe them the money now, so I say I want the hischaibus to begin after I die. That's Ein Kinyan L'Chamisa. I have to say, and it's a kinyan chalipin. You make Ein Kinyan Suda, has to be me'achshav. So I say I make the kinyan Suda. I owe each one of the daughters $300,000, only collectible the day before I die. So if I would have made a kinyan, if I would have made, let's say, a kinyan shtar, and I say the kinyan shtar should create a hischaibus. Each one of the daughters, I owe each one of the daughters $300,000 the day before I die. And it wouldn't be, we don't know when is the day before I die. After I die, then I know that yesterday was the day before I die. So when you learn the Gemara Gittin, the end of Gittin, that's called Ein Brera. A man gives his wife a get and he says the get should take effect the day before I die. You don't know when the get is chal till after he dies, then you say the get was chal yesterday. At the time the get was chal, we didn't know that the get is being chal. So that's called Ein Brera. That's called Ein Brera. The same thing, let's say a man has two wives and he can't afford both wives. So and both wives have the same name, Rachel Bas Yaakov. So he writes a get. He tells his wife, write a get, I'm going to divorce one of my two wives. Meanwhile, write the get for Rachel Bas Yaakov and I'll decide later which one. So that's no good, the Gemara said, because Ein Brera. At the time that the Sefer writes the get, it has to be written Lishma. And it's unclear which wife he's divorcing. He didn't decide till later. So you can't say that the get was written for the one that he decides later. So not only if it's unclear which wife is divorcing, not only if it's unclear the nature of the kinyan, everything is clear, but the zman of the halois is not clear. He says the get should be chal the day before I die. You don't know when that is till tomorrow he dies. Then the gloy most my friend, the get was chal yesterday. That's also a violation of Ein Breira. So that's what the Ramos says, that if the man, before he dies, makes a kinyan, and he wants to obligate himself to give each one of the daughters $300,000 the day before, the obligation should be chal the day before he dies. So usually you do it al yidei kinyan suda. Kinyan suda is no good lachalamin. It's called sekinyone. We don't accept that Rambam. We hold like the Rov HaRishonim, that suda is, even if he won't make a kinyan suda, make a kinyan shtar. In the shtar, if the lawyer is still holding on to the shtar, that's not called sekinyone. But still, that would be a violation of Ein Breira. There's a machlokes satana, but the Yesh Breira, Ein Breira, they're different opinions. If you look in the Ran on the Dorim, the beginning of Perek Hashut, a very long Ran, so he quotes the three different opinions, how we paskan halacha, some say we paskan Yesh Breira, some say we paskan Ein Breira, and the Ran paskan is like the way we accept in Shulchan Aruch, with respect to Dinim Deraisa Ein Breira, with respect to Dinim Derabanan Yesh Breira. So this is a Din Deraisa, a Kinyan, a Hischaibis Mamad, that's a Din Deraisa, it's an Ein Breira. So the Ramah has the following Shore, based on that Ran, in Perek Hashut, the long run beginning of Perek HaShutim and Maser Ches Nedarim. You only say Ein Breira on the main thing. Let's say the man before he dies makes a years before, at the age of 50, he makes a kinyan with the lawyer, with the Jewish lawyer, and he makes a kinyan shtar, and he says the chiyuv obligation to give each of the six daughters $300,000 is chal today. But the schus igvir should only take effect the day before I die. So this, since that the schus igvir is only a detail, it's a major detail, but since it's only a detail, it's not the main issue. So there the Ran Paskin, the Ran talks about a different case, but similar. The main issue is mevurah. But a detail in the issue, even if it's a very important detail, the detail is only a detail. On details, you say yesh breira. So that's what we assume, even though it's not known till after he dies that yesterday the schus igvir set in before he died. So there we say that the yesh breira, since it's only a detail, we say yesh breira. So that's the way. People who want to give equal share to the sons and the daughters, so if they don't think the children will kill each other over the Yerusha, unfortunately families are ripped apart because they fight forever. And wealthy families, and they fight and they waste all the money on the lawyers. The lawyers take away more money than the children are going to get from the whole Yerusha. So if the parents are not afraid that the children are going to kill each other, they can just make a right at Savoy. They want everyone to share equally and shy. So Mishtam Kibirav, the children will listen to the parents. If the parents are afraid that the children won't listen, then you have to make these kinyanim, and then you have to make this his chayvus. I obligate myself. So the rabbinic alumni of yeshiva will be able to distribute to you a text of a form that Rabbi Willig worked on, where he has the following. The man leaves a tzavoya that he wants all the children to get equal shares. And he says, if the sons abide by this tzavoya and they give an equal share to the sisters, everybody gets an equal share, tov. And if the sons do not abide by the tzavoya, the father is mishaben himself to give the daughter the full Yerusha. He doesn't know how much he's going to have. Let's say he makes a will at the age of 50. He makes the tzavoya at the age of 50, but he doesn't think by the time he's going to die, he's going to have more than $20 million. Doesn't think he's going to have more than $10 million. So he should be mishabin himself to give one daughter $10 million. So she's going to clean out the whole Yerusha. She'll take everything. So this will encourage the sons to listen to the tzavoya of the father, because he made a his chaybus to one daughter to give that daughter all the money, not to give the sons anything. So that's a way to twist the arm of the sons to follow the tzavua that the father drew up. This is very surprising. How come so many people, so many rabbanim have not instituted this in their shuls, that that people should fill out tzavuos that should be binding, legally binding api halacha, so that the children won't be able to fight each other with each other later on. And broyers, they don't also, they have heteriske, they have a nusach for heteriske. They don't have a nusach for such a star, for a tzavua. They really, people were surprised. I remember years ago, my rabbi broyer was still alive. They were surprised why they never drew up such a nusach, but they don't have. The Rabbi Willig drew up this nusach, and there, I think Rabbi Feivel Cohen put out a whole sefer. We also have such a similar nusach to fill out such a legally binding document to see to it that the daughter should get an equal share with the sons. This is most of the topic. Okay, there's a lot more, but this is most of the topic as it appears in Shulchan Aruch. There is a discussion. If you look in the commentaries on the bottom of the page, I think it's in Resh Pei Beis. That's a Hilchas Yerusha, the end of Choshen Mishpat. So on the bottom of the page, they have a discussion. There's a discussion in Achronim about Ha'arama. When do we permit one to use a legal fiction? Mechiras Chametz is a legal fiction. In the normal course of events, I'm not in the business. I don't have a grocery store. I'm not in the business of selling chametz to other people. But I sell a chametz to a non-Jew in order to avoid violation of Balei Rabbi Motz. So that's in a certain sense a legal fiction. It's legal, but in the normal course of events, I wouldn't have done it. Let's say the farmers in Eretz Yisrael sell a farm to a goy before Shnas HaShemitah, so the laws of Shemitah perhaps don't apply. There was such an opinion in the 1600s. Its father Shigdon came up with such a chiddush, very, very questionable, that since Shemitah b'zman is only the Rabbana, that part is not questionable. That's sturdier than the rest. Most poskim hold Shemitah b'zman is only the Rabbana. So if Shemitah is only the Rabbanan, then based on the Gemara, would it appear perhaps this part is questionable, that the Yesh Kenyan Anoch and Hafkiah, that the laws of Shemitah wouldn't apply. So that's really a harama. You're doing a harama in order to avoid, in the normal course of events, you're not interested in selling your farm to a Nochri. We want to buy up the whole of Eretz Yisrael, shouldn't belong to the Nochri. So that's a question. If you sell to a Nochri, it may be in violation of Los Sechonim. The Gemara has the three levels of interpretation on that pasuk and Abu Zar Daf Chav. Three levels of interpretation. Or not to give a matnas chinam, or miloshen chanayo. You're not allowed to sell any land in Eretz Yisrael to a non-Jew. So the Paskim talking about that. In order to avoid violation of Shemitah the Rabbanan, they go and they sell the land to the goy. So they violate an Issa the Rice of Los Chanim. In order to avoid violation of the Issa the Rabbanan of Shemitah, it doesn't make sense. So the Avnei Nezer talks about that. Many Paskim talk about it. Avnei Nezer thinks that there's no violation of Los Chanim. Los Chanim is, if he's selling it to the goy, the Toivus HaGoy. But if he's selling, the goy is doing me a favor. He's helping me make parnasa during Shnas HaShemitah. If I'll sell it to the goy, and legally it belongs to the goy, and then I can have work done, I can make parnasa even in Shnas HaShemitah. So that's what many poskim say. The Sefer Chinuch Lo Sechanim is only violated if you sell it to the goy legamre. If you're only selling it for 1 year, then it's like, or it's Lo Tzimocha Litzmisus. If you sell it only for that year, so the Sefer Chinuch seems to hold Litzmuta. And if it's Latovis, I saw the guy is doing me a favor. So others hold that that's not a violation. And then Rav Kook quoted one of his the members of his Besdin when he used to be in Yafo before he became the chief rabbi of Eretz Yisrael. First, he was only the rabbi in Yafo. So one of the members of the Besdin, one of the rabbanim, thought that this Iser Lois Achanim Sitlam Chanoi Bekarka only applies if he's a Nochri who's not a Ger Toshav. But if he's a noch, he's a ger toshav, then imcha yesha b'kebecha, then there's no isa lo sechonim. So one of the gedolim had this suggestion, Maybe all of the Muslims have a din, since we know what Islam stands for. Maybe all the Muslims should have the din of the Ger Toshav, that there shouldn't be any Issa. A Christian is an Eved Aved Zar, so he's not a Ger Toshav. But the Muslims are monotheistic, and they violate a lot, but officially they believe in Lasinov and Lasignov and Sheva Mitzvahs Bnei Noach. Officially they subscribe to that. So even though the din is that you can't be Mekabel Ger Toshav as much as Eved Aved Noach, maybe over here, since everybody knows what they stand for, maybe they should have a din of a Ger Toshav. But that's one of the tikkunim, that as the years go on and they use the Het Mechira for Shnas HaShmita, every Shmita they introduce Mochum. So this was introduced by Rav Kook. Instead of selling the Karka and Eretz for Shnas HaShmita to a Christian is an Abed Zara, that's an Isha of L'Sechonim, maybe they should sell it to a Muslim, maybe he should have the status of a Ger Toshav. Then he gets stuck. If he has the status of a Ger Toshav, then the Amir Eliakim is the Raisa. Because it says in Aseres Adibas, Vasasaka Malacha, Adivincho Itecha, the Gercha Shebisharecha. So Tosis in Yavamas, Mites Gercha Shebisharecha, the Gemara increases, says Gercha Shebisharecha means a Ger Toshav. What does it mean? Ger Toshav is not Mechayiv to observe Shabbos, but Amir Eliakim is the Raisa by Ger Toshav. The Amir Eliakim is the Raisa, so you can't use a Muslim to be a Shabbos guy. To turn on the lights in the shul, because it's an Issa deraisa. You can't use them if there's a sreif in the shul. You can't have them put out the fire to save the Kisvei HaKodesh. The Rav Kook has a difficult truth. He says maybe the Muslims only have a din of Ger Toshav, but they get to this din of Lo Sechonim, not going to get to the din of Amir Liak. He splits between the two. It's a little bit of a doichik, or a lot of a doichik. That part of the tshuva is questionable. Yeah, there's a lot. There's a big discussion about, let's say, heteriska. Heteriska is mamash haharama. It's really, you're lending the fellow money and you're taking interest. But because you drop the document as if it's an iska, as if it's a business venture, so that you made it beheter. It's a legal fiction. Basically, you're violating the laws of ribis. The same thing over here of Yerusha. It says, Liuchol Avaka is ben ha'huva. You have to see to it, Asabcha ben Asnoa Yakir. The father who, before he dies, has to see to it that Yerusha goes in the right direction. So here he's making kinyonim. He's doing a whole harama in order to see to it that Yerusha should not go in the right direction. So the Paskim and Chosha Mishpah talk about that. What happened to the din of harama? That's a question. Chaim Oizer has a tshuva. He says, the Paskim all recommend this. In the Sefer Chaim Avroch and the Mishmar Rishon, he quotes Achrayim, and they recommend strongly that people should leave in their will that a certain percentage of the money should go to tzedakah. You're not mechuyev to leave everything. You're not allowed to cut your children out of the Yerusha, even if you're not happy with the children. Some children are better than others, but it's not right to be mava nachla from the children. Unless the child is married to a nochris, unless he's mechal shabbos befehes, yimam shagoy. That one of the tanaim had a son, and he was very upset why the son didn't become a tana. He could have made him an expert in learning. The son was a religious balabas. He didn't want to sit and learn. So the father cut him out of his yerusha. So the father donated all of his assets. He didn't have so many assets. Tana, how much money did he have? Well, he didn't have any swarm to print. They didn't print any swarm then. So he didn't make money on anything. So the few dollars that the father had, he donated everything to the Beis Hamikdash. So the other Tanaim said he did wrong. You're not allowed to be Mav Nachla, even though you have tainus against your son, why he didn't learn more. He's a religious person, so you're not allowed to be Mav Nachla. So that's a big discussion. You have to leave the whole Yerusha for the children. So some poskim say you have to leave 51% of the Yerusha for the Yorshim. Others say no. But Moshe Paskin is like the Chassam Sofer, as long as you leave a significant amount. How much is a significant amount? So Moshe wrote the tshuva, I think he wrote that it's $5,000 is a significant amount. Today, that's probably not so significant. You can't even buy a cigar with $5,000. How much is a significant amount? Will change depending on what. So Moshe holds you don't have to give so much. That's a different opinion, how much you have to leave. So they recommend, the Paskin recommend, you should leave you should leave a lot of money for tzedakah, and you should try to see to it that the tzedakah should be distributed before the kvura, if that's possible. Based on the pasuk, ba'olach v'fanecha tzedkecha, the tzedakah should be distributed before the kvura. Sometimes that's just impossible, but if it's possible, you should do it like that. So that's a shaila. Is that binding? The father wants to leave tzedakah. Who says that that's binding? So if it's binding because of mitzvah, the kaim deremes, you have to have hushlish metchila lekach. Reb Chaim Moses says that since we paskin la halacha, that hamirasa la gabay kim sirasa, the head yadami, doesn't only apply to hegdish, it even applies to tzedakah. So kim sirasa la head yadami is considered as if it's hushlish metchila lekach. So if a person left in his tavoe, that the daughter should get the Yerusha, you want it to be based on Hushlosh Mitchila Lakach, Mitzvah Lakam de Rames, you have to make a trust account in the bank. That's Hushlosh Mitchila Lakach. The bank is holding it for her and trust for the daughter. But if you want to give money to Tzedakah, you don't have to put it in a trust account. Just Amirasa Lagabaya Kimisirasa, that's considered as if it were Hushlosh Mitchila Lakach. That's Rab Chaim Moser, right? So Nachi Yezer. I think that's the generally accepted opinion. That the father left the tzavah, he left in the tzavah that they should distribute money to tzedakah, that you have to observe. That's a shaila, whether you apply amirasa legavaya, does it apply to tzedakah or only applies to hegdish? That was a big machlokes from Rabbi Yosef Kara and the Ramah. So Rabbi Chaim Moser assumes that we pass on like Rabbi Yosef Kara's tshuva, that it does apply to tzedakah. And he said, therefore it's called hushlosh metchila lekach, even though he never gave it over to anybody. Very good.
Rabbi?
Yes. Bakasha.
This idea that you're not to withhold Yerusha from the son, is that a din? Is that like an eitzah? Din derabanan, din deraisa?
Yeah, the Gemara says it's highly improper. The Gemara says you shouldn't help the father. If you're a lawyer, you shouldn't help the father, right? If you're a rabbi, you shouldn't help him. Unless the son was miserable to the father. There was one case in the yeshiva, that the boy got married, and from the day that he got married, he never talked to the parents at all. I'm a shugana. And the parents were wealthy people, and the son lived in poverty, and he wouldn't call the father to say, good Shabbos, good Yontov, ksivach simatev, and nothing. He had babies, never told the father to invite him to the bris, to the pidyon haben, nothing, the weddings, never invited. So the father was so bitter. He made it tzavoa before he died, cutting out that son from the Yerusha, because he gave him so much aggravation. In that case, probably the father had a right to cut him out of Yerusha. But under normal circumstances, even if some children are better than the other, Gemara says, highly recommended, it's not right to cut out. You shouldn't be mava nachla from the children. That's not right. And the Gemara says that Tana did wrong. Yosef ben Yoezer, I think. The Tana did wrong that he left his son out. The Gemara says, why? The father gave in Gansan, how much money did the Tana have already? So he donated $500 to Hegdish. The son donated $5,000 to Hegdish. The son gave more to Hegdish than the father. So the Gemara says the father did wrong. You shouldn't be mab and nachla from the children, even if you have certain gripes against the child. Unless it's mamish major, that's a major tainus, then it's a different story. If the child made the life of the father miserable, then he probably does have the right to leave him out. Okay. We'll see you on Wednesday at 5:00.